good morning, and again, another Sunday of not being able to be together, but that's okay. God is with us, and we are together in spirit, and I have to tell you that we just need for the weather to get nicer, and that would help to kind of lift our spirits a bit, getting a little bit of sunshine. But we have come to an end in our Philippians study, and it has been just a wonderful journey as Paul has been teaching us to again partner with one another in the gospel and really rejoice in the abundant life that God has given to us. So let's pray as we get started into God's word this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we give thanks again this morning. In the midst of just turmoil and a bit of chaotic and worry and anxiety that is kind of filling our country and filling the world, we come at this time to come and rest in you, to hear from you, and allow your Holy Spirit again to build us up, to encourage us, to have your word strengthen us. And again, allow us to, in the midst of our trials, draw together, honor you, love one another, and may again your Holy Spirit just teach us through your word this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I'm pretty sure when I say that we all take great pleasure when we invest and gain interest in return. Would you agree? I think so. Even greater joy is when we get to be a part of something greater than ourselves, and we give that makes a difference, and we receive in return an abundance of joy. Today is that last message. We continue the theme we began, that we are a part of supporting the gospel. We are a part of something greater and bigger. Paul is sharing a tremendous message here. As partners in the gospel, we're called not only to share our faith with others, but to support the work of the gospel with our finances as well. Last week, Paul introduced this theme, but then we jumped tracks and took a moment to talk about Christian contentment. Now he picks it up again on the theme again as we look at supporting the gospel in our finances. Let's begin reading in Philippians 4, 14 to 23. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out for Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. I receive full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They're a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send greetings. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. And that's the blessing of the Lord's word this morning. This message is not just about giving, but we get to be a part of it. Again, in the midst of our circumstances, it may come at an awkward time as we end off with the Philippians as it talks about giving. But this piece of scripture is more than about finances. And that's a message I really want you to be listening for. Our desire is, as a church that preaches the gospel, right? That we seek to live out the gospel as a fellowship of believers. We work together to support the gospel as witnesses. So you can know in confidence that when we give to the church, we are indeed supporting the work of the Lord, the gospel. This morning, I want us to look at six wonderful things that this passage looks at. And when we support the gospel with our giving. And please know again, this message comes at a strange time and a very difficult circumstances. But it's not about all about finances. I pray that the passage will be an encouragement to you as you grow in the grace and as we look at what Paul shares with us this morning. When we support the gospel with our finances, right? First thing is that we further the spread of the gospel. In verses 14 and 15, it says, "Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out for Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you." Who enjoys a piece of toast only partially covered with peanut butter? I got to have it right up to the edges. I just cannot eat a piece of toast that's only partially covered. I need it fully covered. That's the only way. Paul recalls how the Philippians church supported him financially in the early days of their acquaintance with the gospel. They were just getting started as a church themselves, and yet they made it a priority to support the work of the gospel through Paul. They were partners in the gospel with him from the very beginning. The Greek translation emphasizes that they had a deep partnership of two, going in the same direction. This teaches us that we should be a part of supporting the gospel right from the beginning. Just as the Philippian church came to learning of the gospel, they jumped right on board. Right? As they came into a relationship with Christ and their church began to grow, they came on board to partner with Paul. They didn't commit partially, but fully. Right? So what does that mean for us? Right? Paul is really helping to encourage us here, right? Again, not to only maybe just go part way, but go the full way, right? God calls us to work, to be a part of the work of the gospel. Paul called this fellowship of giving, sharing in his troubles. The word troubles naturally implies hardship. I know right now we are journeying through hardship. I know in my past, I have observed that people were hesitant to get involved when they were going to be, if things were going to be difficult in what they were going to embark on. Paul experienced the trouble of persecution and trials and spoke of his sufferings related to the tribulations of Christ in Colossians 1:24 while spreading the gospel. And the Philippians experienced that same trouble of financial sacrifice at home while supporting the spread of the gospel abroad. The Philippians weren't a wealthy church. We read the following about them in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 4. "Now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints." The Philippians shared with Paul and others out of their extreme poverty. They pleaded for the privilege of sharing in their service to the saints. And Paul says that this is a good thing. Right? He says, "It was good of you to share in my troubles." You could also translate those words as, "You did well, you did a good job." What does this mean for us? It means that we have the privilege to share in this whole matter of giving and receiving with our missionaries, right? With the mission of the church. When we commit to their financial support, we enter into a personal relationship with our missionaries in supporting them as they're sharing the gospel, right? As supporting them in our prayers. It's a deep, sacred fellowship. We've been called to go into the world with the gospel. And we will never fulfill the Great Commission without shared sacrifice in the gospel. That's the first encouragement. When we support the gospel with our finances, we further the spread of the gospel, not only spreading half, right, but spreading fully. The second encouragement that Paul comes and shares with us is that we supply the needs of Christian workers. Look at verse 16. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. What is remarkable about this is that Paul had not even left Macedonia yet, and the Philippians were already sending support, helping him in this time of need. The people we support in missions are real people, just like they have real needs. They're not superhuman. They require food, clothing, medical attention, rest, relaxation, and support for their families. As we come along as partners, right, we have the privilege of meeting their needs, making sure that they are well provided for so that they can carry on the work of the gospel. And this was a demonstration through the Philippians and their support for Paul. The third encouragement is that we store up treasure in heaven. Look at verse 17. Paul writes, "Not that I am looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account." This is an important verse to pay attention to. Once again, Paul clarifies his motives. He is grateful for their gift of support, but he's not bringing it up because he's looking for money. He's not looking for what can be accredited to his account, but rather to their account. The gifts were an investment in the work of God and in their future. Some believers may have mistakenly assumed that Paul was looking for gifts, right? But he clearly stated that he was looking out for the blessings it would bring to the givers. Paul saw beyond the physical act to the spiritual transactions taking place. Right? This is a personal connection for us. And that message that as we give with our worshipful hearts, right, we are experiencing our own spiritual investment, our own spiritual blessing into our own lives. Paul was interested in their growth and blessing. And truly, as we give with our tithes and offerings, right, or whenever in which way we give to the Lord with how He's blessed us, how is that helping us again to grow and deepen our relationship with God? When we give to the gospel, we're not spending. We're investing in the kingdom of God. We are storing up treasure in heaven that will be never taken away. Please know that it's not about the more we give, the more we get attitude. It's not about accumulating treasures here on earth, but in heaven. It's about the investment and the blessings we receive from a giving heart. Again, Paul shares another encouragement here in verse 18. We come to, again, my favorite part of Paul's passage. Our gift is an act of worship that is pleasing to God. Paul writes, I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied, not that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering and an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. Paul tells the Philippians he has received full payment and does not need any additional support. He's amply supplied. He has more than enough. In fact, he considers himself wealthy after receiving their gift. But now Paul moves from an imagery of giving to an imagery of sacrifice. There's a spiritual dimension to giving that he does not want the Philippians or us to miss out on. The gift from Philippi have not only supplied his needs, but they've also have a pleasing sacrifice of worship to God. Right? Have you ever shared a gift with someone? Just truly poured out your love to someone? And how it's just been an overwhelming gift of honor and pleasure for that person? They gave, and it was a pleasing sacrifice of worship to God. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. Something I remember is what was given as an offering in the olden days to make peace, right? A baked apple pie. The aroma is so sweet and scrumptious. And Paul is picking up on the Old Testament language here. When the sacrifice on the altar was described as a sweet-smelling sacrifice that went up before the Lord. Now, God is spirit. He doesn't have a body. So he didn't actually smell the sacrifice. God's not pleased with smells, but with the hearts. It was a picture of God being pleased with the heart of the worshipers who brought their sacrifice to him. Right? Connect yourself as you give, right? As you're offering your tithe, right? We find in the New Testament in Ephesians 5:2, where we read that Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The physical activity can become spiritual in motivation. It's easy to drop something, an act of motion, into the offering plate. But it takes on a totally different story when it comes from a worshipful heart, right? We are ultimately giving to God. Our worship is our primary reason for giving, our spiritual exercise. This must come first. In the long run, Christian giving is not measured primarily about how much we give, but by the giver's heart towards God. Our gift is an act of worship that is pleasing to God. Paul then comes and shares with us his fifth encouragement. God promises to meet all our needs. In verse 19, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." With all of this talk of giving sacrificially for the gospel, someone may ask, okay, what will happen to my own needs if I support the work of the gospel? We have here a wonderful promise from God, a wonderful word of assurance that God will meet all our needs according to his glorious riches. God had met Paul's needs, and here God will also meet our needs. What does it mean for us? How do we connect with this? Notice that Paul describes as God, my God. Paul has a personal relationship with God through Christ. And he's basically telling the Philippians and us that my God, who supplied my needs, will also supply your needs. Right? That's the same message that Paul is wanting us to connect with. That as you have a personal relationship with God, God's saying, I promise that I will supply for your needs. We can be generous in our giving to the gospel, because God will more than supply our needs. God's supply is infinite. We will meet your needs out of his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. God has whatever you need for any situation. If your need is financial, God supplies what is needed when funds are short. Do you have emotional needs? The Holy Spirit is the great comforter, and God will fill you with the fruit of His Spirit. Do you need guidance or direction? God gives you wisdom through His Word. Do you need protection? God watches over His children. Do you need salvation? God gives the free gift of salvation to everyone who comes to Him through Jesus Christ. This is a wonderful encouragement towards Christian giving. Again, it's way beyond finances. When we support the gospel, God promises to meet our needs. Lastly, to God be the glory. Verse 20. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul ends this section with glory and praise to God. And there's three parts to this doxology: the who, the what, and the how. The who is our God and Father, who meets all our needs so richly in Christ. The what is glory. All glory goes to God. The how long is forever. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. We see this to be very fitting as a close, not only to this section, but the whole letter. Right? Connecting us and allowing us to see it all come together, that the bottom line is this for us. When we support the gospel, the work of the gospel sent out, people are saved and God's glorified. But not only in the lives that were transformed, right? What does it mean for us? That our lives are also transformed, right? In us and through us. We play an exciting role. People need to hear the gospel. People cannot be saved apart from the knowledge of what God has done for them through Jesus Christ. People made sacrifices so that I would have the opportunity to hear the gospel. Right? Would I, again, have a relationship with God without those people sharing His word with me and what Jesus Christ did for me? No. We get to be a part of that right now. There's no greater investment, no greater return than supporting the gospel. To God be the glory. Paul ends off with final greetings in verses 21 to 23 as we close off this morning. Let me just highlight just one thing from each verse in this section. First of all, for all of us, each person in the body of Christ is important. You are important to God. Right? Verse 21, greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me, send greetings. All the saints in Christ Jesus is literally every saint in Christ Jesus. Paul instructs the leaders of the church to greet each and every one, individually and personally. Each one is an important partner in the ministry. Each one of us are important in the part that we play. You are an important part in this ministry. Each person in the body of Christ is important. Secondly, a reminder that we are all partners in the gospel together. Verse 22, all saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. Do you notice how Paul especially singles out those who belong to Caesar's household? Remember when Paul was in prison, he was still sharing the gospel, and the gospel continued to advance. This is a reminder to the Philippians of how even with Caesar's household, people have come to Christ. Caesar put Paul in prison to keep him from spreading the gospel. Well, it ends up being the joke on Caesar. The Philippians have been supporting Paul in the gospel, and the gospel has now even penetrated the household of Caesar. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful reminder that we are all partners in the gospel. We owe all the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. verse 23. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ will be with your will. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Paul began this letter with grace and ends the letter with grace. Everything we've learned and studied over the course of this series has started and ended by grace. We're partners in the gospel, and grace is the hallmark of the gospel. We get to receive and enjoy what we don't deserve. We have journeyed through this book, and I trust that you have found this book as an encouragement and challenging as I have. I believe what we have seen is a magnificent vision of the Christian life, a powerful call to make Christ the center of our lives. And through it all, we've seen this continuing theme of partnership in the gospel. As partners in the gospel, we're called to Christian growth, to live a life worthy of the gospel, to enjoy true Christian fellowship, and to demonstrate Christ-like character and humble obedience, keeping our eyes on the prize as citizens of heaven. And we're called to advance the gospel together through prayer, witness, and financial support. Finally, Paul ends this letter with a word of grace, because this is what the gospel is all about, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself up for you and for me. Let's pray. God, I thank you for opening up Paul's letter to us. And then again, Father, with the ending of Paul's letter, encouraging us, Lord, on how important our partnership is in sharing in the gospel. May we again just be built up and encouraged, Father, in our lives as we go and live out the Christian life, having Christ at the center of our hearts. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.